Hey guys,
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Samantha.
Hide your kids because you're listening to Midwest Made Us Do It, the pod where two best friends chat about whatever tickles our pickle.
So buckle up because we're corn fed but not inbred.
Yeah, so the dirt sundae is the best kind of sundae. It's crushed Oreos on the bottom, chocolate ice cream on top, Oreos all over the top of it, and then two gummy worms stuck in it like it's dirt coming out the side.
I like Blue Goo Twinkle Comp.
Okay, that's fair.
What's the song about drinking?
Oh my gosh, if you're from the Midwest and you like country music, every song is about drinking.
There was a song we used to listen to when we drank. What was it? It was
Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney.
Yes, When the Sun Goes Down.
Yeah, that's when we drank a lot.
Yes. Drinking. We're going to chat about drinking in the Midwest or in general or, not drinking. Whatever floats your boat. The reason this topic came up is because this week I am celebrating my 8th year of sobriety. That has been a journey for me. Yes, so 8 years ago on March 18th, I decided I cannot drink anymore. No, I haven't. I mean, every once in a while I'll have a drink or something if it's a special occasion or if it's whatever, but just one, rarely two. But here's my question. So I like to say that I'm sober and that I'm celebrating sobriety. But if you're sober, does it mean that you never ever drink, or does it mean that you just don't get drunk? So am I really sober because I have a drink here or there?
Yeah, I think whatever works for you. I don't think that rigid rules work for everyone. I think you have to find what works for you. So like right now I am choosing, it's kind of like Whole 30 for me. Like right now I am choosing to be sober just because I have a lot of anxiety, and I know that if I drink, it makes my anxiety worse. So right now I am choosing to be sober because it wasn't really helping with my anxiety. But will I choose to be sober later? Probably not. But
it took me
a long time. That's my choice.
Yeah, that is true. It is your choice. It is your choice.
Yeah.
I had to make the choice because it was unhealthy for me. A lot of medical issues, a lot of personal issues, a lot of emotional problems, a lot of legal problems. I mean, drinking did not look good on me.
I mean, we had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun. A lot. Which made me think, BuzzFeed has this, I love BuzzFeed, and I get all of the very important information from BuzzFeed because it's very accurate and very important and it's very credible. Okay?
BuzzFeed. Okay.
So everyone has a type of alcohol that matches their personality. I took the quiz.
Okay.
I know what mine is. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give you the quiz.
What is it?
To see what your drink is that describes you. First of all, what do you think your alcohol personality would be? Like, what alcohol describes your personality?
I don't know. Maybe like a Pinot Noir, because I'm dark and I have a dark, dry humor.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. Okay, well, let's figure it out. Okay, I'm going to give you a topic. I'm going to give you 6 choices. You tell me one, okay? We're going to go through this quickly because we're not trying to bore people. Okay, you're going to pick a food.
Okay.
Pizza, nachos, pasta, salad, burger, ramen.
Pasta.
Pasta. Okay. Pick a word to describe yourself. Smart, fun, cool, bored, unique, wild.
Wild.
Wild. I see tequila in your future. Pick an activity. Eating, sleeping, watching TV, dancing, talking, running.
I really like sleeping, but I also really like dancing.
I'm going to pick, can I pick for you? Because I'm going to pick sleeping. I have never really seen you dance.
I love sleeping. I like to get 8 hours every night.
It's very important to you. Okay, pick an animal. A panda, goat, penguin, giraffe, turtle, whale.
Panda.
Perfect. Pick a sport. I know. Just bear with me here. Baseball, soccer, football, basketball, hockey, golf. Which one do you even know what hockey. It is? Okay.
I like hockey. I'll go watch hype. Is it ice hockey?
Yes.
Yes, I love ice hockey. I love to watch it because they fight each other.
Okay, we're almost done. Only two more questions. What's the ideal number of people to invite to a party? 0 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 20, 21 to 30, 31 to 50, or as many as you freaking want. Like, do you want something small or big?
6 to 10.
6 to 10 people.
6 to 10.
Okay, last question. Pick a Disney character. The Little Mermaid. The Talking Teacup.
That's it.
The Dragon from Mulan. The Little Mermaid. Okay.
Of course.
Little Mermaid. Let's see what you are. You got champagne. You're luxurious.
Ooh.
You're luxurious. You're perfect to have around when it's time to celebrate. You're classy and bubbly. Hey.
No one's ever called me classy before.
I like it. There you go. That's what you are. Champagne.
I like that. That's fun. What were you?
I was champagne also. So in the United States, the drinking age is 21. It's been 21. There was a hot minute where it was a little different, but 21 is pretty standard. All over the country, it is different. A lot of places are 21. A lot of places are 18. And then anywhere in between. There's some places where it's illegal. You can't even have it. It's totally banned. In the United Kingdom, you can be 18 to drink, which my son was very excited about when we went to England, because as soon as we got out of the United States, he quickly asked the flight attendant, "May I please have a drink?" And then he didn't know what to drink. And I said,
"Sure.
Start with a Bloody Mary." So, so that's what he had.
That's what I drink when I travel.
Yeah, I'm like, that'll be a good one. Start
Bloody
there.
Mary.
Switzerland, you can be 16 for beer and wine, but you have to be 18 for spirits. Which is interesting to me. You can't drink liquor unless you're 18, but beer and wine is okay. I don't understand the concept behind that, but whatever, it's not my rule. All alcohol is illegal in Pakistan.
I think it's against most of their religion.
Yeah, so anywhere where there's Muslim, Turkey, all of those kind of countries around there, it's completely banned. You cannot, total ban on it. Ireland's 18, Italy's 18, Japan is 20. Oh, in Cambodia, there is no age minimum. So you can drink whenever. However old you are, it does not matter. So it's different all over, which is kind of interesting just because cultures are like that. So a lot of times in the European cultures, it's definitely not uncommon for people to sit down and have a glass of wine with dinner. And if you have, sometimes a lot, foreign exchange students come here a lot during school, and they will always talk about how the drinking age is lower, but to be able to drive, you have to be older. Which I kind of like that concept. Get all the crazy wild drinking out of your way before you're able to drive, because that's where a lot of the problems happen.
Yeah, I think when you make something taboo is when people want to do it.
100%. I was looking at, there's this webpage you can go to that says onlyinyourstate.com, and it is in Illinois. The 10 drunkest counties in Illinois. Can you guess if my county, Effingham County, is on the list?
I'm guessing yes.
Effingham County is number one. Number one in Illinois. 31% of people excessively drink in this county.
I will say, growing up there, I did start drinking pretty young. Ooh. There was rarely a weekend where I wasn't partying starting in high school.
Really? I didn't drink in high school.
Well, you were pregnant, so that would have been weird.
Yes, I didn't drink in high school. I had babies, okay? So there's that.
She had one baby, okay? She had one.
I didn't start drinking till college, and then it went real south real fast, but I think a lot of people, especially in the Midwest, I don't know, I can't speak for everywhere. I only know the Midwest. So in the Midwest, for sure, people drink in high school. It is not uncommon to go on a weekend and go to a drinking party out in a field, out at a barn, out to go road tripping, to go jeeping, to go, to do whatever. You are 30, 40, 50 people are piling onto somebody's farmland and pulling up keg beer or just 30 packs and just drinking until all the beer is gone. The most country Midwestern thing I ever did drinking was going road tripping out in the country, and there was a little pig on the side of the road, and we stopped and picked it up and put it in the car and drove around drinking with the pig. And then we put it back, because then what do you do with a pig? It was a little piglet. It was so cute. We took it back.
You put it back where you found it.
The details are fuzzy at this point in my life, but I would assume we did.
I did the country thing where we would drive, and there were certain hot spots that we would go to. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a rock pile that we would run up and then roll down. And there were some cemeteries that we'd like to hit up. And there were some spots where we liked to stop and meet people. But it was mostly chain smoking Marlboro Lights while drinking Keystone Lights that were warm, or Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill.
Yeah.
And then trying to get into bars that I wasn't allowed to get into.
Right.
I'm the youngest of all my friends. So on my 21st birthday, when we went to the bars, you were there. Mm-hmm. The bartenders were all very upset with me because they were like, you've been drinking here for years. We thought you were 21. And I was like, whoops, it's my birthday. Don't know why I made those choices. There were a lot of bad choices made. A
lot of bad choices happen in your teens and 20s.
Yes.
And then you've got to clean it all up in your 30s. And then I hear that it's good in your 40s.
I'm looking forward to turning 40, man.
Yeah.
So, do you want to hear about the drunkest towns?
Oh my gosh,
please. The drunkest cities are mostly in the Midwest. Okay, so this is how they figured out which ones. So, these are places that have excessive drinking, which includes binge drinking, which is defined as 4 or more drinks on a single occasion for women and 5 or more for men. And then heavy drinking is 8 or more drinks per week for women and 15 or more for men, which is weird to me. But it's excessive drinking. So they reviewed the adult excessive drinking rate in 381 U.S. metro areas to identify the 20 drunkest cities. So the cities with the highest excessive drinking rates are concentrated in the Midwest. And then weirdly enough, those with the lowest drinking rates were mostly in the South. So let's get into the drunkest cities. So we have got, I'm not going to do the 20. Let's do the top 5.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5 is Fargo, North Dakota. It says slightly more than 1 in every 4 adults there drink excessively. It is the 5th largest share of any U.S. metro area. It is more common across North Dakota as a whole than in Fargo. 25.9% of North Dakota's excessive drinking rate is the 2nd highest of all states, trailing only Wisconsin. So 38% of driving deaths in Fargo involve alcohol, compared to 30% nationwide. Number 4 is Madison, Wisconsin. There are 226 bars and restaurants for every 100,000 residents.
Wow.
Well, also 44,000 students attend the University of Wisconsin in Madison, so they obviously contribute to the binge drinking.
Sure.
Number 3, we've got Appleton, Wisconsin. It is one of the only 5 metro areas where more than 1 in every 4 adults drink excessively. Number 2 is Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Y'all are drinking too much.
You guys are having a good time.
alcohol was involved in 38.9 of the deadly car accidents. Wow. And then number one is, guess where?
Wisconsin.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, geez, Wisconsin. Congratulations. 4 out of 5. Yes. Nice work. Yes. Nice work.
Oh, wow. Alcohol was a factor in over half of all driving deaths.
Wow. Give me the number one, the top two driest cities in the United States.
Yes.
So if you're trying to get sober, yo, go to these places.
Sure. Okay. Well, you're going to be shocked. They're both in Utah, which is a huge Mormon area.
Yes.
So that is.
Okay. Yeah. That's
so
fair.
St. George, Utah is number two.
It's good, clean fun over there. Good, clean fun.
And then number one is Provo, Utah.
Oh, okay.
So only 8.5 adults report drinking excessively.
Wow.
So Wisconsin, get it together. And if you're sober, move to Utah.
That's right.
So boredom is listed in the top 8 reasons that teenagers say they drink. And when you live in a small town, you get bored. So you drink, hang out, drive around, like we talked about. So obviously this is a dangerous combo. From January to June of 2018, there were already 3 times more crashes in rural parts of Missouri than there have been in cities. Many of those resulted in injuries and death. A few have been due to underage drinking and driving. So one good thing you can do to make sure your teenagers aren't drinking and driving is to encourage them to stay busy. So invest in different activities, show them things you can do, find things in your community that are better than that, sports, plays,
yeah,
library, whatever's, I don't know, find stuff to do or make stuff to do. But give me a state and I will tell you the best small town.
The best small town to drink in when you're in that state?
Yes.
Missouri.
We have got Branson, Missouri.
Branson. Very tourist destination.
Is it?
Oh, yes. People go to Branson all the time. They got like the all the shows and the dancing and the Yeehaw. Hell, I've never been, but people go there and it's very touristy and there's a lot of attractions, a lot of things to do, vacation there.
It's the smallest, it's smaller than Effingham.
Branson, Missouri?
Yes, it says the population is 11,400.
Well, that might be the population that actually lives there, but the people that go there is a gazillion. Unless there's another Branson.
No, that's it. So it says in the 1880s, Missouri was the top wine producing state in the country. Branson is the heart and soul of Missouri wine. Head to Curling Vine Winery for a taste of wine made from your official state grape, the Norton grape. Oh. Bottle your own wine from a 600-gallon French oak barrel at Mount Pleasant Winery. Or for the ultimate Missouri wine experience, go to Lindweidel Winery. Grab a bottle of wine, sit in the wine garden overlooking the bluffs, and take in the live music.
Well, Branson, get it. Tell me Indiana. And here. Indiana and Illinois, while you're on the eyes.
Hey, Nashville, Indiana.
Oh, really?
I've never even heard of that.
I feel like they have, I feel like that's where some covered bridge stuff is. Covered bridge festival kind of stuff.
Population 1,100.
Right on. Does it have one church and 6 bars in that town?
Yep. It says there is Bear Wallow Distillery and Hard Truth Distilling, where they turn local grains from the heartland into liquid Americana. Many of the local venues also combine booze and music, like the Indiana Red Barn, the Chateau Thomas Wine Club, and the annual Gnaw Brew Beer Art and Music Festival.
Well,
this is from Thrillist. So if you go on Thrillist, you can look up your state. Okay, then Illinois I've never even heard of Galena, Illinois. Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Where is it?
Galena? It's up. I was going to go there for some reason. I was going to go there because I was looking for something to do with for a quick trip just to get away. It's a really cute little town. It's up by Chicago.
Okay. Well, the population is 3,200.
That's a lie. It's not up. I mean, it's up north, but it's more Iowa border. It's like right on the border of Iowa, but it's at the very tippy top up north. So it's the opposite side of Chicago.
Okay, so they said there's a free trolley ride in downtown Galena where you can drive on the trolley through Main Street, and they have historic small town beauty, outdoor activities. They have a local wine at Galena Vineyard. You can hit the Arbor Hill Vineyards, and there's three other nearby wineries that have tasting rooms. Galena Brewing Company has a tap room. And it was the home of Ulysses S. Grant, apparently. Yeah. Well,
give me Hawaii.
Well, it's on Maui, I guess. So.
Is it right by you?
No, it's on Maui.
Oh, okay.
So Paia, Hawaii, is a small town. Well, most of the towns that are on outer islands are small towns. 2,600 people. So it says Maui. Oh, Charlie's! Willie Nelson
Bake. I've been there.
I'm at Charlie's. I partied at Charlie's the last time I was on Maui. So Charlie's is a Willie Nelson. It says Willie Nelson called the bar, quote, my kind of place.
Nice. If you ever want to find out who your true friends are, get sober, because you will find out very quickly who is actually your friend and who is just your drinking buddy. I found this out the very hard way, but it's so true. It's really challenging. So when you're trying to get sober, it's a really, really hard thing to do. There's this woman called Celeste. Oh, Lord, it's her name. Her name is Celeste.
So they call her Celeste.
She's this. Okay, so Celeste Chavon is part of the Sober Mom Squad. She is pretty famous for coming out in 2018 and speaking about her struggle with alcohol, and announced her commitment to become a sober mom for the sake of her health, for her health and her family. She had a whole piece about a play date that went sideways. She's got a whole blog about it where she went and took her kids over for a play date, and another mom started serving mimosas and was like, oh, good, we can start drinking. And it was just kind of an excuse to get. It's become this weird thing where moms do this. They'll have play dates and they just drink. They'll have a glass of wine. It's mommy time. It's me time. It's da da da. But it's just a way to get together and drink. She posted on her Instagram. She has a really powerful Instagram. It's all about sobriety and getting out of the mommy culture of that it's cool to be drinking all the time, and that I'm just so stressed out, I need a glass of wine. My kids are driving me crazy. I need a glass of wine. So she posted this picture of herself with a sign that said, alcohol is the only drug in the world that you have to justify why you're not taking it instead of justifying why you do, which is interesting to me because alcohol's hard. People don't think of alcohol as a drug. So we don't really question that drugs like meth or heroin are bad for us. You'd never have anyone do a line of coke in front of you or your children, for example. You'd never have your kid, hey, go to my cabinet and get my cocaine or wherever, whatever. You would not ever do that. See, that's ludicrous. People think that's ludicrous. You would never do that. However, alcohol, on the other hand, is the only drug you have to justify that you're that you're not taking. So I would never question you, oh, why aren't you doing meth? Why aren't you doing all of these drugs? That just seems bizarre to me. Whenever I talk about going out, people always ask me, why aren't you drinking? Why aren't you drinking? Oh, just have one drink. Why aren't you drinking? Well, why are you drinking? That's what I want to say. You're the one drinking the alcohol. But there are a lot of celebrities who have had bouts of alcohol issues that have become sober and have very openly become sober. And some of them I love very dearly. Some of them I didn't even know. I don't know who. I think it's Robert Downey Jr. has a quote that says, I think it's him. I'll correct it. Correct myself. It isn't. He has a, he's become sober and his quote was, I'm allergic to alcohol. I break out in handcuffs every time I drink.
Sure.
Which is,
there are some people who just shouldn't drink.
I concur. Now there's tons of people that drink and drink responsibly and it's no big deal. I'm talking about people that have serious problems with it and let it consume their lives. Eminem celebrated 11 years of sobriety in 2019, which is pretty amazing. I didn't even know he was sober. Bradley Cooper's been sober since he was 29. He kind of just made the decision, I'm either going to do this acting thing or I'm going to drink. And he chose to just not drink. So he's not picked up a drink since the age of 29, which is, in my opinion, very impressive. Brad Pitt stopped drinking. Kristen Davis is stopped drinking. Keith Urban is a recovering alcoholic. Jada Pinkett Smith quit drinking just cold turkey. She's just like, I found myself drinking two bottles of wine on the couch and I said, Jada, I think you got a problem. And from that day on, I went cold turkey. I think people don't recognize or deny that they have a problem. And I did the same thing. I denied that I had a problem. And my mom kept saying, it's a problem. And I'm like, no, it's not. I completely control my drinking. I have no issue with it. It's no big deal. I'm
sure.
And she's like, Samantha, when it's causing problems in your life, then it's a problem.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, well, it has caused some problems. So maybe you're right. Kelly Osbourne's, yeah, Kelly Osbourne's sober. John Goodman went sober. Dax Shepard. I got to skim through here, my favorite, because Mr. John Mayer's on here. John Mayer went sober after a six-day hangover. Following Drake's 30th birthday party, John was hungover for 6 days, and it was after that experience he decided to stop drinking. He is completely sober, sobriety 100%. He said, I looked out the window and went, okay, John, what percentage of your potential would you like to have? Because if you say you'd like 60 and you'd like to spend the other 40% having fun, that's fine. But what percentage of what is available to you would you like to make happen? There's no wrong answer. What is it? I said 100%. So he just made the decision to be sober ever since then. He's been sober for, I think it's going on 3 years for him, which is lovely, which makes me just be even more proud. And Mr. Zac Efron is sober now. He went to rehab. There's a ton of them. There's this, and Insider.com has a whole list of celebrities who have become sober, have, and why they did it and what was going on in their lives. So whenever...
There are a lot. J-Lo doesn't drink. Kim Kardashian really doesn't drink.
Oh,
I've heard of celebrities don't drink.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian had a quote somewhere where she just doesn't like the taste of it. So she doesn't drink.
There are a lot of people. J-Lo too. J-Lo is like, it's going to make me look bad. Like, if you have pressure to look, but like, you get puffy, you get...
Oh, yeah.
Well, look back in the day, it's like drinking culture and celebrity is so intertwined. Like, if you look back at old pictures of like Elvis or what, and you see him puffy and bloated and fat and gross looking, and it's because you're drinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to take a break once a year. Mm-hmm. I'm on my break right now just to kind of detox my liver.
Yeah.
And to make sure that I don't have a problem, make sure that I can stop if I want to stop.
Yes, that's good.
But the thing is I usually quit for I'll be like, I don't really want to. And then by the time I do actually want to, then I'm like, I forget that I haven't drank in months, and then I'll drink too much, and then I feel hungover, and then I go back, which is what happened because I did dry January. And then on February 1st, I said, I'm going to have some wine. I had 2 glasses of wine. I was drunk. Then I felt like garbage the next day. I was like, done. So today is March 14th. So I have not had a drink since February 1st.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm not done. I really enjoy drinking. It's not like I don't like break shit or try and fight people or drive. So
yeah,
I just want to swim in water when I'm drunk.
Oh,
that's a reoccurring issue. When I'm drinking, I want to go into a pool or the ocean.
Well, I hope someone's with you and you have a life jacket.
I can swim very well.
That's true. That's right. 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 An old swimmer. Well, whenever I was getting sober or quitting drinking, I was quitting. It was really, really hard for me. And I still wanted to go out. I still wanted to hang out with the people I hung out with. I just, I went through this weird thing where it's like, okay, I'm still going to go out with you, but I'm going to drink. Well, at first it was like, okay, I'm not going to drink liquor. And then that wasn't working out. Then it was like, okay, I'm only going to drink beer. Okay, I'm only going to drink so many. None of this was working. So then it was like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get NA beer and ask the bartender to serve it in a glass.
I remember your O'Doul's face.
Yes. Serve it in a glass so it looks like I'm drinking draft beer, because people will ask, why aren't you drinking? What are you drinking? Let me buy you a drink. So I would do O'Doul's NA in a glass. Then
which
is
disgusting.
Well, I mean, I wanted to fit in or whatever. It still has that beer flavor to it. So you still have that. Then I went to mocktails, which I really enjoy. And I like Moscow Mules. It was kind of fun to sit at the bar and have the bartenders play and make mocktails. It's basically just all the fruit juices and random stuff. But I wanted to give you a recipe for drinks that I liked that are mocktails, if you want to feel like you're drinking, but you're not. So the mango mule is just like a mango mule is like a Moscow mule. It's 4 to 5 slices of cucumber, 1 ounce of honey syrup, 1.5 ounces of mango puree, 1.5 ounces of fresh lime juice, and 1.5 ounces of ginger beer. Shake it and pour it over ice. Delicious and refreshing. So all you have to do is muddle the cucumber and the honey syrup at the bottom of your cocktail shaker. Add the mango puree, the lime juice, shake it, strain it over a copper mug, top with ginger beer and stir. It just sounds refreshing, doesn't it? So it's giving you the same flavor. It just doesn't have the tequila or vodka or whatever.
Booze.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a ton of mocktails.
I have no problem if I'm not drinking telling people I'm not drinking right now. But I also, here's the thing. I don't want to hang out with drunk people if I'm sober. I've been the DD before because I don't like getting humped and attacked when everyone else is drunk around me. If I'm a little buzzed, I don't really care how anyone else is acting. But if I'm sober and people are screaming in my face because they're so drunk, they can't hear themselves talk, that I cannot do. I'm like, okay, this is a lot. It's not fun to me. It makes me uncomfortable.
Listen, drunk is not pretty.
There is a line. I can hold my liquor. Like, I have some friends who will be talking and I'll say, oh shit, I'm drunk. And they're like, I can't even tell.
Oh,
I can't even tell that you're drunk. And I'm like, I'm really drunk, but there's a line. If I keep drinking at that point, then it's going to go into the messy, sloppy, not cute. I have to stay in that zone. So I have found the perfect where if you feel like you're too drunk, you drink water for an hour.
Yes.
And you'll sober up a little bit.
My advice is
right in Vegas.
Yeah.
I go drink water, drink water, drink water. And that's how you do all day. And then you make sure you're hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep a buzz going without being too wasted.
Right.
You don't want to get sloppy. You want to be able to function. Right. And you don't want to. The first time I went to Vegas, I didn't know this. And I ended up at the ATM at 3 a.m. and I pulled out all my savings and I gambled.
Oh, no.
I don't
even
remember it. I found an ATM receipt.
Oh, no.
It was not good. Do not recommend.
Oh, no. That was my suggestion. Drink no more than 2 drinks an hour and always drink a water.
Yes.
That's my suggestion for you.
Definitely, if you're too drunk, wait an hour and drink water during that whole hour. And then you can have one more.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Because then you're just going to get to the point of no self-control. And then you're going to be like, I can do shots. You can't. If you're over 30, you can't.
No.
I promise you. It's a bad idea. It's stupid. You're going to regret it.
Very
true.
That's
why I can't hang out with young people, because they talk me into shots and I'm like, I can't. I am an old person and my body doesn't handle alcohol the way yours does.
And we have things to do in the morning. We have to adult.
I can't be spiraling into a boozy blues all day the next day, wondering about my life choices. I can't.
I concur. That's true. I totally agree.
What's your favorite? Is that your favorite mocktail?
I really like the ginger beer, Moscow Mule kind of things, but I've also had where they make me like fake martinis, fake teenies.
Oh yeah.
I've had a lot of, basically it's just, I don't even know what they all would be, but I just sit there at the bar or a restaurant and say, make something up for me. One time I was somewhere and the bartender was stoked. He's like, yes, I can't, let's practice. Cause people ask me a lot for a mocktail and I never really know what to make them. I'm like, they really do? Cause I didn't know that was such a, like, I wasn't shameful to ask. It's like, can you just please?
Really?
When I first was stopped drinking, I would say I'd like a vodka water on the rocks, hold the vodka. I would order it just like that. And people would be like, the bartender would be like, so an ice water? I'm like, I'd like a vodka and water on the rocks, hold the vodka. Because people around me were listening. They didn't hear what I was really saying because they're freaking.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, yeah, that's what I freaking want. So people think that I'm drinking. Because otherwise, they're going to think I'm a crazy person not doing the drug. What is happening to our society?
I don't care if anybody says anything to me.
Don't. Everyone at my work, that's all they talk about in this town.
I don't care what anybody thinks. Yeah, when people are judging you for not drinking, that's their own insecurity about their issues around drinking and them feeling insecure about it. And so they want you to drink so that you can cook. I remember when you first got sober and I was like, okay, I don't care. Like, that's your life. That's your decision. Mm-hmm. It's your body. It's your choice. And I remember you told me that there were a lot of people who weren't very supportive of it. And I think that's weird.
It was
weird. I think it's weird to not support your friends when they don't. You don't have to get drunk with your friends. Like, you can still drink if you want. That's your choice.
Right.
But you just, you know, just be normal. I don't know.
Well, because when I got sober, apparently I got really boring. And you can't have fun with someone unless you're drinking with them. In this town, anyway. Apparently.
I don't know. I have fun with you when you're sober and when you're drinking.
Yes.
But we like the same thing. So
right.
That's probably.
Most likely that's the reason. Yes. So I just wanted to talk about this because I am celebrating 8 years of sobriety and I'm proud
Woo!
Of myself. I'm very proud of myself because it was a complete lifestyle change for me. It was really, really hard. So if I can do it, other people can do it. It's hard, though. It's freaking hard.
I'm very proud of you, too.
Thanks, friend.
I can't imagine living there and because there literally is nothing else to do.
Yeah. Hey, this week is going out. This is going to be out like as soon as I edit it, but it'll be St. Patrick's Day. So if you're going to do St. Patrick's Day stuff, number one, be safe and stay away from people. Number two, drink green beer, but don't drink too much of it. Right?
I don't know. I might drink it. No, I'm not going to drink.
I've never drank green beer.
I have to work the next day. I haven't either. I drink Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. You know what's really good is a Guinness milkshake. You should make one of those.
Oh.
Yeah. So you make it like a regular milkshake, except for instead of pouring milk in it, you pour Guinness in it. And it's just like a chocolatey, and put chocolate syrup in it. It's really yummy.
My wedding cake was a Guinness chocolate cake, and everybody said it was the best cake they've ever had.
Delish. Yummy. Well, on that note, you guys go make your Guinness milkshakes, go drink your green beer, and then, you know, don't be scared to get sober. Look up some mocktails.
Yeah, why not?
Have fun. Be silly.
All right. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day and happy 8 years of sobriety to Samantha.
Yay.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
I will talk to you then.
All right. I love you.
Love you back. Bye.